Welcome to EG's Guide to NPLs. A decade ago, the financial world crashed. Lehman Brothers collapsed under loans people could not repay. The disaster spread from the US to Europe. Banks were bailed out. Others were nationalized. It all seems like it was 10 years in the past. But Europe sells tens of billions of euros worth of non-performing loans, or NPLs, every few months, and the markets reach new levels of activity. I'm Carl Tomasz, and I spoke to this man to bring you an overview of the NPL market and why it's not going away anytime soon.
My name is Federico Montero. I am a managing director at Evercord. I lead the real estate portfolio solutions team and have been working in real estate related transactions, distressed transactions, since 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed.
Lehman Brothers collapsed under a pile of real estate loans that people could not repay, or NPLs. That's when Federico entered the picture. He moved to Hong Kong with KPMG to work on the liquidation of Lehman Brothers. From there, the story spread globally, with banks overburdened with NPLs. The problem is that when banks have too many distressed loans, they can't do their job.
The banks are made to have savings and lend money, and that's a business. And they should be healthy in order to do that. Because normally a bank can have around 5-6% of their loans being NPLs. So 5-6% is not a bad ratio. A bank can live with that. What a bank cannot live is having 50% of their book with NPLs.
Of course, banks did reach those levels after the crash.
With 5%, then you have what they call a restructuring unit that they will be working with those borrowers. And sometimes what they do is they help them a little bit and they became performing loans again. And then it will be a rotation, a normal rotation. The problem was when, example, RBS, that restructuring unit was half of the bank working, doing those things. So then the bank is not lending money or getting the savings. It's just working that. And then it's doing another business or activity that they are not set up to do.
And that had to change. How did they do that? Ireland was one of the early movers in Europe. The National Asset Management Agency, or NAMA, was created when the country's property market crashed. It took on the bank's NPLs, bundled them up, and sold them.
The bailout in Ireland took around 75 billion of bad loans and put it in one place called NAMA. And NAMA's only objective was to clean up and deleverage that, get rid of that those loans. And NAMA has been a successful story.
The benefit was that all these thousands of loans were in one place. NAMA could market them in portfolios rather than selling little bits here and there. The market loved it.
We helped NAMA selling around 45% of their book. And our first deal was 60 million. So they were testing the market with a 60 million loan portfolio. It was tiny. One of our last deals was 8.5 billion. So we moved from 60 million to 8.5 billion, but mainly because the market was pushing, saying, we want more, we want more. And we are willing to fight for that big portfolio.
But the European Central Bank agreed to not do any more bailouts in 2012. That meant Italy did not get a bad bank, and neither did Greece. That can be a problem.
The complication of that is that rather than having all the bad loans in one place and have one strategy and one disposal process, you have it in plenty of different banks with different strategies, different agendas, different problems. So it takes a little bit more. So it takes longer than having all the bad loans in one place.
In general, it's opportunistic investors that want to get into the NPL market. These include firms like Blackstone and Cerberus. They take on high risk for potential high return in a way banks can't.
You can go and tell the borrower, let's do a deal. I'm your new lender. You're not able to pay me. We need to fill this building so we can have a cash flow and I can get repaid, and then the value of this building will increase. There's two ways to do it. In a consensual way, we work together and we do it together, and then you can repay your obligation, or if you don't work together with me, I can enforce you because I have the right and you have the obligation.
One important point about the NPL market is that it's a wave that crashes from place to place. It hit the US, it went to Western Europe, and now the focus is on Southern Europe. To get an idea of what that means, I spoke to this man.
So I am Mark Kaplan.
Who works for Pepper, a loan servicing business after years at Lloyd's here in the UK. Basically, They help banks sort out their balance sheets when they have too many NPLs. He's now in Cyprus.
In Cyprus, the main thing that hit this market was in 2013, when there was effectively a systemic failure of banks, which led to the bail-in, which led to retail depositors losing significant amounts of money to support those banks. And even since then, the banks have struggled. Putting it in perspective, and whilst it's only a fairly small story on the scale of Europe, Cyprus's second largest bank failed last month.
But the NPL wave keeps moving through Europe, and Mark is firmly on it.
Our eyes are very much on the other markets in Southern Europe. All of the markets in Southern Europe have their own distinct characteristics. The non-performing and the wave that we're riding on non-performing loans is now really focused on the likes of Spain and Italy, where the majority of non-performing loan portfolio sales have been seen over the last 18 months. This year again, I think, is expected to be dominated by Italy and Spain. But I think the interesting feature for us is we expect that wave to move down to this end of the Mediterranean and perhaps become far more active in Greece, maybe not in 2018.
He says Cyprus is something of a launching pad to Greece, with a common culture, similar languages. And where Cyprus's problem is 15 billion euros of NPLs, Greece's is closer to 60. From there, he's looking even further.
So I think in the short to medium term, the focus is very much continued to be in Southern Europe. However, whereafter, I know that we're looking at China. Turkey has a large number of non-performing loans. Smaller areas for us, if we're in Cyprus and we're in Greece, you logically look at the Balkans. You look at further in Eastern Europe. So non-performing loans, I think that the junket will just continue moving, you know, eastwards, no doubt.
Eventually it'll all come back around to Europe. What will actually cause the next crash is up for debate, but it's coming.
See, when we had the crisis in 2008, the crisis, it was a debt crisis. It was lending money to a product that was not good enough for that level of risk. In order to save a lot of these banks and insurance companies, there was a lot of debt issue in order to save those things. So we have almost 2.3 times the amount of debt that we used to have in 2008, and I mean globally. So the crisis will be substantially more difficult than that it was before, because the amount of debt. We solve a debt problem with more debt.
But that could also be an opportunity.
I think for those with non-performing loan skills that have probably mainly been developed in Western Europe and are now being increasingly utilized in Southern Europe, I regret to say it, and I take no pleasure in saying it, but I think there's a job for life for pretty much all of us if you're prepared to travel.
This has been an EG Guide to NPLs. Big thank you to Mark Kaplan and Federico Montero for their expertise, and thank you for listening.